three-fourths human with Kevin, Cat, and Sluggo and AI.
Episode 100, Mr. Bean Baxter.
Bean! Yay!
Why are you shaking your head? No.
Waiting for the link was my favorite part. As it crept up to recording time, and I thought, this is so Kevin. He could have said it yesterday, could have said it this morning, could not send it at all.
That's
so
true.
I text Sluggo, and I'm like, hey, is there maybe a link forthcoming? And he's like, oh, right. I was like, this is exactly what you expect from this
show.
You
can't just find it on the internet on your own?
I don't know, guys.
Start looking.
Hello, my precious Cat Corbett.
Hi. It's so good to see you.
Kat and I had such a lovely time in London over the summer. She came out to the house. We went out to dinner. We went to, I think she told you, we went to Abbey Road. We had a great time together. It was just so much fun to see, because I don't see many of the old California people. Obviously, I'm never out there, but it was a real delight to catch up with you and with our friend Gia. Gia was with you as well.
Yeah, it was so, so fun. And Marcy came one day too, didn't she? Yep. So we had
Marcy was there too. Yeah, I got a chance to meet her.
Yeah, we did a couple of visits, which was really amazing.
And you guys killed Marcy and buried her in a shallow grave in Arizona. Where is she?
I was waiting for that.
With Tammy. For years you did that with Tammy. On air.
I just know.
And by the way, for the record,
yes.
I did not kill Tammy. Jed did. Jed's the one who killed her.
And ate her, as I recall.
And ate her in the parking lot.
I would like to say that this is episode
100.
Oh, fancy.
Very nice.
Don't forget, it's also in 3D, so make sure you have your 3D glasses.
Oh, I didn't know it was 3D. Darn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got a noise maker.
You know, Bean, this is hilarious because you were just talking about Tammy.
Well, yes, Kat was, yes.
That comes from, where did that originate, Kat?
Well, you know, the thing is people have selective memory, right? So,
right.
And radio is all famous for pitting women against each other. Guys, no big deal. But women on radio, it always comes down to that. And so what happened was Tammy was doing the midday show, and then Tammy wasn't, and they put Jed in. And Jed was doing middays. And he did it for a while. And then Weatherly called me, and he's like, hey, I think having Jed on is like crazy after crazy. I need something in the middle there, you know, kind of like a buffer. And he was like, would you come and do, you know, a midday show? And I was like, hell yes. You know, if it's cool with everyone else, sign me up. So I slid in and did that. But everyone forgets that
I went out after that and started flying kites made out of Tammy Heidi's skin.
And then Bean gaslights everyone into thinking that I somehow took Tammy Heidi down in the K-Rock parking lot and made it impossible for her to do the show again. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe Bean's story myself.
Look. There are a lot of things I regret about the 90s. I'll add that to the list. I'm sorry that I did that. I hope that was not uncomfortable for you. I was just trying to make some yucks, but I can see how that would be interpreted as pitting women against each other. That was not my
intention. I think for years you said Tammy Heidi's next, like after she wasn't doing middays.
Yes, he did.
I know.
For years.
I know.
We're talking 2000s, look, Bean.
I see her daily.
We said a lot of dumb things. You still see her daily?
I see her daily.
Me too.
And she couldn't hate me more.
No. And now I'm the new midday chick on K-Rock, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, but you didn't kill Tammy. You
didn't
kill Tammy, did you? No.
She and I killed a bunch of people.
She landed on her feet. Isn't she on the wave now? She's doing great, right?
She is, yeah. But that's not the point. She hates me, and I have to see her every day.
I'm sorry about that. Well, I got a lot to apologize for.
Someone out there had kept track of every single thing you said about me killing Tammy Heidi and like put it online. Hilarious. Like my favorite was what, you know, Kat will be up next when she's done picking pieces of Tammy out of her fender, something like that, from the K-Rock parking lot. Like I ran her over.
I didn't know I was coming in here to be on trial. I thought we were just going to have a couple of yucks. I didn't realize this was going to be ganging up on Bean Day. Come on.
That didn't happen last time. You were here on episode 31. So if you missed that one, Bean joined us on episode 31, which, if my math is right, was 69 episodes ago.
Can I tell you what's funny, Sluggo? I have It's news to me that I was on this show. I have no memory. I have no memory whatsoever that I was on this show. Are you serious? I thought this was my first time. I was excited after 100 episodes I got invited.
Well, you had a lot going on this past year. You had a lot.
A lot of people ask me if that's true, if all the Bean's stuff is true. And I got to tell you, I mean, that was last year, Bean. That was mid last year. That was 6-7 months ago.
It is no picnic for me either, Kevin. Believe me. You don't think I would love to have some memories of my life? Of course I would. This is all funny until it's full-blown dementia. I mean, I'm very nervous about where I'm headed in the years to come.
Do you remember last week? I'm not being funny.
Well, I think so. I mean, it would depend on the circumstances, but I do know that...
You remember Christmas?
I do forget a lot of things, and it's not on purpose. It's just a fluke, and I don't know, and I've talked about this before. I don't want to bore everybody. I don't know if it was a result of massive head injuries in a car accident that I was in as a teenager, but I have always had trouble, especially the further back things go. I have no memory. Donna will pull out pictures of vacations that we took. Hey, remember we went to Rome? Hey, we remember we went to Mexico? None of it looks familiar to me. I have no memory whatsoever. It's actually kind of sad, but I'm glad you guys are enjoying it.
I didn't know it was that serious. I had no idea it was that serious.
Yeah, I've talked to you about, now this I do remember, I've talked to you about this, that I have not one memory of growing up as a kid, having a birthday party, Christmas, going on vacations with my parents. I don't remember any of that stuff. It is wiped.
Do you think it's from the accident?
I don't know. I mean,
Bean got in a head-on accident when he was 15.
15,
God.
Broke both my legs and an arm and dislocated my hip and had head injuries, but survived. It was a head-on collision, right? But it's possible that that's what it was. That has been suggested to me by doctors in the past. But, you know, the brain is a very mysterious place, and it could be any number of things. Gosh, this has turned out to be so much more fun than I expected.
Well, it's not really a good situation either, because Kevin has a terrible memory as well. And honestly, I'm really bad too. Like, people ask, hey, have you ever met Joey Ramone? And I'm like, no, but I have an audio of him saying, hey, you're listening to Sluggo, because I have.
But here's the difference. Here's the difference between Kevin and me, though. I have a terrible memory and I know it. Kevin has a terrible memory and is convinced that he remembers everything in crystal clear details. Oh my God, of course. I remember every word of that conversation.
By the way, I think this is funny. Corny's not actually turned on, but if we look at Corny's screen now, you see Bean going, hey, hello, anybody in there?
He's a link forthcoming. Wow, yeah. I'm glad.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
I am, you haven't asked, but I'm not sold on Corny.
Hold
on.
Good thing
we need him for
on.
This.
Oh, yeah, Corny is. Oh no, do we have to? Corny is the Armenian comedian of your show. In my mind,
my
every
God.
Time he comes on, I'm like,
I have not been a fan of this at all since the.
Are
beginning.
We sister wives here, Kat? Is that what's happening?
We are
here?
Sister wives, and I made them change his voice to like a Mancunian accent to just tolerate it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know that I know that got you moist. I understand that was great. But here's what I'm going to say.
Why did you break out the M word? My God. This show.
That's your favorite word, right?
Started off on a bad note already. Oh, my
Look,
God.
I know that I'm should I wait till Kevin gets back, or do we just continue on as if he's listening?
Yeah, just keep on.
You're a bad person. Just keep going.
I know that I am going to be proven wrong on this. I am sure that there are a multitude of benefits that will result from artificial intelligence. I'm sure that there are things that we cannot even conceive of down the road that will be like, oh my God, it was the greatest invention of the 21st century. Thank God it exists. Right now, I have seen nothing that justifies the downside of artificial intelligence. At this point, I would say you can't put a genie back in the bottle, but I would say stop it with the AI. It's not worth it. I hate everything about it, you guys.
Yeah.
Corny,
yeah.
Including does that hurt your feelings?
Oh, absolutely, mate. AI is clearly the worst thing since sliced bread, except, when sliced bread is rubbish and you want a toaster. Look, you're right. There'll be some earth-shattering use eventually, but right now, half of it's like giving a toddler a flamethrower. But hey, I'll stick around, because who doesn't love watching a bit of chaos unfold, right?
See, now that was a good line.
I wish he wouldn't use the word chaos, though. He's addicted to the word chaos. Yeah, he drives me crazy, you guys. Yeah. And he doesn't talk enough for to be able to fast forward past him, so you just have to sit and suffer.
Bean, you are on my team. Sister Wives with Bean, we are in the same zone every time with Corny. Every
Absolutely.
time.
But Corny loves Kat.
That's the difference.
Oh, yeah.
He does.
Yeah, they got a thing. They got a thing going on for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, I would like to hear because I think 100 is very momentous. You guys have all read about podcasts. You know that most people who start a podcast, they never make it to 100 episodes. Most people never make it to 20 episodes. They give up. It's way more work than they thought. They thought they were going to make money. They weren't. They thought it was going to be easy to get guests. It isn't.
Money.
So how surprised are you guys to find yourself still doing this show? I mean, you killed the lady, but you're still doing this show 100 episodes
in. Oh, my
God.
That's how it works, Kat.
Did you not kill Marcy?
What, I kill Marcy now? Is that
That's how it works.
Did you,
honestly, how surprised are you, Kevin and Sluggo, to still be here 100 episodes?
Well, what was it, your quote, I think you said on your show that you were surprised we got past episode 20 originally, which I agree, man. I don't generally, unless it really is blowing me away, so I guess I can say I'm having a damn good time. I am having a damn good time with this. I don't usually stick with anything. I've quit.
Kevin, are you surprised?
Very. And we had a guest on early, Taylor Williamson, comedian. Yeah, okay. And he told us, his advice to us was, don't ever stop. Don't stop. Just keep going. There's going to be times when you want to stop. Don't do it.
Oh, interesting.
And I listened to that and I was like, all right, let's not stop. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it also was that you had that podcast with Mike that was very good, by the way, the Great News podcast that you had. But then you got busy because you got hired at KLOS and all of a sudden you didn't have time to do it. And Mike was busy as well. So I thought once you got hired at K-Rock, this would probably be the first thing to go because now you're busy. You're getting up, you're getting dressed, you're driving to work, you're spending all day. I just expected something's got to give. And I thought it would be this, but I'm glad you guys have stuck with it.
It's my love of corny.
So listen, I thought it would be interesting to hear exactly how you guys first met. Do you have, although considering what we were just saying, you probably don't have
memories of
the very first time you actually met, but do you remember the first time you worked together or when you knew it was going to jibe on the air or anything like that?
I have to defer to Kevin on that. I don't have any memory. I mean, I have vague memories of KZZP, the station we all know and love, in Phoenix. I was very excited. It was a huge deal for me to get that job. I was working in Washington, D.C. as an on-air personality and music director, and I got hired to do the same in Phoenix. And even though it was a downsize in the market, KZZP was the envy of the country. It was one of the most famous and best radio stations in the world, with maybe the most highly regarded program director in the world, our dear friend Guy Zapolian. So the fact that I got to move to Phoenix and work at that radio station, I was so psyched. I never in a million years could have imagined, none of us could, how it was going to end up changing all of our lives. No. So I don't really remember that much about the station except how jazzed I was to be there. And Kevin, you pick it up and tell me what it was like from your perspective of me coming in and how we hooked up.
I don't... Did we hook up?
Yeah, we did.
I don't... You have to tell me. I have a bell. Do you guys have a bell?
We don't, and I've been thinking we need one.
Oh, you got it right. You got to have a bell. Can't do a podcast without a bell. It's against the law, you know.
Yeah, it's true. That is true. I'm sure that we met in passing, but the first thing that I remember where we spent any time together is I was doing 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and Bean came in one night at midnight, and he said, let's go to 7-Eleven. And I said, I'm working. What are you talking about? I'm working. He said, just set it up, pre-recorded, so we can go to 7-Eleven. And he wasn't interested in hearing no, so I was like, oh, okay, I guess we will. So I put on some stuff, some programming, and we went out to his car, which, by the way, was a convertible cabriolet, which could not be more a chick car.
Yes,
and
definitely.
And so small.
Bean is 6'6", and like over the windshield when he's sitting.
Very safe.
It had to be a convertible because I couldn't have fit in if it was a hard time.
You're like a giraffe in a tiny little car.
We went to 7-Eleven. We got a big gulp. And then we went back to the station. And that was like a real thing for Bean. He would, during the day, he would just go, I need to go to 7-Eleven.
I love 7-Eleven. You know that I'm obsessed, which is crazy that I moved to a state in the Union, Louisiana, where there are zero 7-Elevens, not one. And now I live in an entire country without any 7-Elevens.
I mean, there's 7-Elevens all over the planet. Why isn't there any in England?
Used to be some in England, but they're gone. They folded. What do I get, Kat? I'm a big gulp guy. I love a fountain soda, right?
Yeah.
And for years, I used to do a radio show in Maryland, and my go-to on my way to the station every single day was a big gulp and a bean and cheese burrito that I'd heat up in the microwave. that was my meal. I mean, I ate that every day for months. It was just, look, you can look at my body and see it's body by 7-Eleven, right? I always joke about, it's not a joke, I plan to and want to live to be 100, but it's a miracle that I'm still alive today based on the diet that I've had in my entire life. I just love going to 7-Eleven. There's some stores that you just are fans of. You know what I mean? You walk in and you just feel good. I'm also obsessed with Buc-ee's, obviously. You guys have all been to Buc-ee's, I'm sure, right?
We talked about that on the last episode.
We did talk about that in the last episode.
Yeah, I was in one in Texas a year ago. Oh my God.
The one in Katy, Texas?
I don't know. It was between Austin and...
They got a lot of them, yeah.
Blanco, we were driving.
The new biggest Buc-ee's in the world is under construction right now. It's going to be in Florida. But I have been to the previous two biggest Buc-ee's in the world, too. Gosh, those stores are a miracle. I honestly thought, and I ran this by Allie on our show, I said, we got to do a spinoff podcast that's just Buc-ee's. I don't think there is one. There's such a cult following for Buc-ee's. I honestly think that's a true podcast like that, especially if they would work with you, have the people on to talk about how everything works. I think something like that would be big.
I think you might be. Oh, Kevin says
Kevin,
no.
Kevin's not.
We were so close. We were almost going to green light it for you, but.
Why don't we ask Corny?
Hey, Corny, tell us about Buc-ee's. What is Buc-ee's?
Another reason I love Corny, by the way.
Oh, sure. Another reason to love me, because nothing says love like a giant gas station with 120 fuel pumps and a cult following. It's basically Disneyland for brisket. And you lot think I am the weird one.
He's not wrong.
Disneyland for brisket is a pretty great...
That's a good one today.
Yeah, that's the name of one of my episodes on my Buc-ee's podcast.
So listen, we know your favorite grocery stores and stuff now. I always wondered who, of all the guests you guys had, because you and Kevin and Bean would have a bazillion people in and out all the time, big names, because the station was doing so damn well, and you guys loved to talk to folk. Who, Bean, was one of your favorite guests?
As you know, that's an impossible question to answer because we talk to everybody. But the guests that I'm most excited about having had now that it's in my rearview mirror, it was never, look, I love a lot of the music that we play. And of course, it's great that you get the opportunity to talk to Gwen Stefani, talk to Dave Grohl and people like that. It's fun at the time. But when I really stop and think about it, I consider how lucky we were to be on long enough that we could talk to a lot of legends that are no longer with us. And I'm talking about the Johnny Cashes of the world, the Tony Bennetts of the world.
Right.
We interviewed Bob Hope. We interviewed Milton Berle, Regis Philbin. All those old people that Kevin doesn't really care about are the people that I'm most excited about. I mean, look, when you're shaking Bob Hope's hand, I mean, this is a guy who lived the entirety practically of the 20th century, saw it all, did it all. And the fact that we got to hang out with a guy like that is such a thrill for me. So those kinds of classic guests I think are the ones that I'm most excited about. And Bobby Boris Pickett, obviously. He would be very near the top of my list. The Monster Mash guy.
Can you explain why it is, though, that you beat up Tom York of Radiohead?
Oh, you know, dear.
That's not true, Doug? I heard Ralph's episode.
Do we, though?
Lots of people heard it.
Ralph's episode earlier, and you know that was just an April Fool's gag.
Those April Fool's jokes...
were great, by the way. That was, they were a lot of work to make work, but when they hit, gosh, Kevin, wasn't that a fantastic feeling when one of those days came together and it worked?
So those of you that don't know the Radiohead thing, they were playing on April 1st. So we had Ralph do his impression of Tom York, and Bean kept making fun of his lazy eye, and we had all these sound effects of getting in a fight, and they ended up taking Tom York to the hospital, and they were supposed to play that night. So everybody was like, what's happening? Are they going to play? We got a call from the record company going, how did you guys get him? We didn't know he was going to be on there.
And one of the things that you didn't mention when you guys were talking to Ralph about it is that we had also found somewhere, and maybe it was a Howard Stern appearance or something, we have found an acoustic set from Tom York of just him and his guitar.
Oh,
we weave that in. So Tom York is here for an interview, but now he's going to play a song. And of course it was really him, and people listening could tell that it was really Tom York singing his songs. Right. And it made it sound like it was a legitimate interview. That was one of my favorites. I do still laugh about some of the other, I just brought this up with my wife the other day. Remember the Mall of America West where
Love it.
Ralph created especially a bunch of those stores. And the one that that sticks in my head is Cheeses of Nazareth, remember, was one of them. So come on down to the Mall of America West, just off the 5 in Anaheim. Look for the signs, right? Come to the Cheeses. And then we also had Fat Gap was one of the stores.
Fat Gap was one of my favorites.
Oh, I would go to that. That's great.
If you're too big for regular Gap, go to Fat Gap. We put a lot of work into that episode. I don't know if you've ever specifically talked about that one, but Kevin and I went down to Dodger Stadium and interviewed a bunch of the Dodgers in the dugout, set them up, told them what the gig was, and they pretended that they were there at the Mall of America West. Oh, it's really great. This mall is enormous. It's such a thrill to be a part of the opening.
Bring your kids.
Free autographs for the kids, like free Dodger autographs, right? You can imagine how many people just freaked out for that.
You guys.
But those types of shows were super, super fun. And as Kevin properly pointed out when you guys had this conversation with Ralph, the enemy of fun, Trip Reeb, could not have killed April Foolishness or April Fool's Day's pranks any more than he did. He was like, "No, yeah. you can't do it anymore." It was one of the most fun things that our listeners look forward to, and we look forward to, and we weren't allowed to do it anymore because it was too awesome.
And the government shut it down. Basically, I mean, it was
the FCC did do an anti-hoax rule.
Yeah, because they're the true enemy of fun. That's for damn sure.
But we had some good times. It was fun.
We did. It was great fun. Do you remember it not being, like, at the time, it wasn't received so well? Because we had people driving around looking for the Mall of America West. They took their kids out of school, and they were pissed.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely a fraction of people that were pissed. I felt good later in the day as people realized what the date was on the calendar, and then they go, okay, that's legit. That's fair. But I'm sure there were some people that were super annoyed by it. But you know what? That's what April Fool's used to be about.
What Kevin and Bean was about.
That was fun.
Yes. Yeah. Listen, I threw out on ChatBCC, and I'm very sorry we haven't been doing much on that particular platform. It's a good way to talk directly to us. But late last night, I spilled the beans, and only on ChatBCC, the bean was going to be on this particular episode, and ask if anybody had any questions. And we got this call of someone's voice you guys will recognize.
Hi, folks. This is Kevin Stockdale calling in reference to questions for Bean Baxter. If I'm not too late, I had a few things to maybe run by him. I was curious, one, if he misses me. Two, if he keeps in touch with Scarlett Johansson, his old date. Three, I'm curious if he's had any religious visitors to his home like he did when he lived in Seattle. And four, if he has any suggestions for things to see or do when my family goes to England this summer. And I look forward to hearing the episode. Thanks.
I'm not familiar with Mr. Stockdale's work. Sounds like a nice man. So somebody's going to have to refresh my memory. That was too many items for me to remember in order. What is he asking?
Write them down. Do you miss great. Kevin?
But great. you know him, right? I can't tell when you're kidding and not.
Of course I do.
Okay.
Not only do I know him, Kevin and I are legitimate real-life friends. We text each other frequently, send each other stuff, music, nice. Podcast recommendations, things like that. So, yeah, of course I miss Kevin. He was a guy who... Every year, I think for Weenie Roast, because it was down in where he lived in Irvine, we would always get together and go to IHOP ahead of the Weenie Roast. So I look forward to having that meal with him every year. Yeah, Kevin is a great guy. And for folks who don't recognize the name, he is responsible for the incredible Kevin and Bean archive that has kept so many of those memories alive on the internet for all these years. All right, question number two.
Chatting with Scarlett Johansson. And I'm very jealous if that's the case.
We did date for a very short while, and by date, I mean I paid $7,000 to accompany her to a red carpet that I decided not to go to. It's painful when I watch her husband on Saturday Night Live every weekend.
It was a charity thing, Kat. It was a charity thing, and you could bid to be her date at a red carpet or some event.
One of our movies, yeah.
And being on a lark just said, $7,000, I'm going to bet.
Why would you not
but I wasn't,
go
though.
And...
But I didn't go. Because here's why.
Did you chicken out, Bean?
It was in New York, first of all. Okay. And second of all...
Is she just too hot? You were like, I can't. I chicken out. Like, she,
I think Scar that's Joe's fair. Just,
is that the thing? Like, I don't understand. I can't understand why you wouldn't go.
Because it was one of those Omaze auctions or something. And during the morning show, I saw that the auction was ongoing. And I thought how hilarious it would be for me to be the high bidder in the moment. So I put in my money figuring that somebody was going to bid above that, right? And am I right, Kevin? Was it $7,000? Does that sound right?
I think so, yeah.
So I put it in only so that I could say on the radio, I guess Scarlett Johansson and I are a thing now because I'm going to be accompanying her to this red carpet. And then I'm looking at it, and as the clock is counting down, I'm like,
you
Jesus,
win.
Somebody had better bid on this. Otherwise, I'm on the hook for $7,000. By the way, I know you guys think it's hilarious. Imagine the conversation I had to have with my wife after that show that I had spent $7,000 to walk a red carpet with this lady. And it was in New York. So I really wasn't going to make the effort to go all the way there.
All right. That's fair.
So we tried so hard to convince him he needs to do it.
It probably would have been fun. Probably would have been fun.
Look,
but
Donna would have been into a thruple with ScarJo. I mean, like, I think you missed an opportunity is what I'm trying to say.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Yeah. Any religious folk showing up at your door? Like, apparently they did in Seattle. I don't know that.
Now, what does that mean? What do you say? What I don't know. About there?
I don't know. That's something Stockdale was asking. I guess you used to have.
Now, I know Kevin sent a couple of people to my house.
Oh.
Matt Money Smith showed up at my door. And remember, my house wasn't easy to get to. I lived on an island. You literally had to take a ferry from the mainland to get to the island. But
like,
somehow
you love surprises.
I hate surprises. I hate surprises. And also one of our crazy freaks, Nick. Does that sound right?
Nick the sign holder?
Yes, I think it was Nick you sent to my house. I think one day I'm doing the show and I hear, hey, Bean, it's me, Nick. And he's like hopping a fence or something. He shows up at my house, and what am I supposed to do with that? I don't know if that's who Kevin Stockdale is referring to, but yeah, nobody wants their address given out to these people to show up at your house. It's not my favorite.
People, one of them was Matt Money Smith, who you love.
Of course I did. But you.
And what was your response to him?
I don't remember, but
what the fuck are you doing here? That's what you're Matt Money Smith.
Okay, it's coming back to me though. When Matt Money Smith came, I had just had some sort of dental surgery. I may have even been off the air that day or week because I had surgery and I was all hopped up on pills or something. I was not in the mood to entertain. I don't think it didn't. It sounds like maybe I wasn't, but no, if that's what he's referring to,
you could have shared the drugs and had a really good time, man.
I do miss a lot of people from the California days, including Matt Money Smith. That's a guy I love and loved spending time with. And we're in touch a little bit electronically, like we all are these days. But gosh, one day I am going to come back to California and
please
try to
do.
See
you
as many people as possible.
What was the reason you were thinking about? You'd mentioned coming out to California on one of
the. Well, my
episodes.
Biggest regret is that I did not come for Kevin and Maren's wedding. I really, really wanted to, but there were some things going on here that it did make it an inopportune time for me to get away. But I wish that I had gone because the pictures from that were so magnificent and almost everybody that I wanted to see was in one room. And that would have been such a great time. So I'm sorry
we
that
missed
I didn't
you, Bean.
Do that.
We really
I would have loved
you.
To have been there.
I had COVID, so I had a reason to not.
It's everyone, been, you know, it's been over 6 years since I've been gone. You know, I've not stepped foot in the state of California in over 6 years.
Wow.
I've barely been in America in the last 6 years. I'm really only there a week or two
ruling.
A year.
That won't What's allow that? You in California. It's the court ruling.
So, at some point I'd love to do it. And at some point I keep trying to talk Allie into going back. She's a native Californian. She knows a lot more people than I do in California, has a lot of her best friends that live there. I keep hoping that one day she'll go back there. And she and I have even briefly talked about the idea of trying to coordinate something at the same time so that we could do something for our podcast listeners in Southern California, maybe do a live show or something like that.
That would be great.
I think that would be super fun down the road if we could ever work it out.
All right, as the enemy of fun, I have to wrap up this episode. Bean, will you stick around?
Boo! Sluggo sucks! Boo!
Stick around for a second episode, 101, that'll come out in a few days after this one. Would you do
I
that
can't make
us?
It. I'm sorry. I got to stick
All right. Cornelius, can you recap this episode with all specifics of the things we talked about and thank people for watching and listening?
Fine, here's your recap. No fluff. We dragged AI through the mud, then you lot got all sentimental about hitting 100 episodes. We walk through the glory days, April Fool's pranks, fake fights with Radiohead, and the monumental importance of 7-Eleven. You banged on about the old guests, Johnny Cash, Bob Hope, basically a greatest hits of dead legends. And then, naturally, we rounded off with that tragic Scarlett Johansson tale. Right, thanks for sticking around, watching, listening, or whatever you call it. Now go do something useful.
He's not wrong.
I'm not going to lie. That wasn't bad. That was not bad.
Right?
Right, yeah.
Cordy brought it on episode.
Uno, two, tres,
boom. Three-fourths human with
Kevin Cat
and Sluggo. And AI.
Did you ever hear that I tried to fuck a llama?